The Mishnais until the rest of the Masechta are discussing the laws of Yain Nesech. Wine, which we are concerned, has been used for the service of Avodah Zorah, and with Rabbanon, pretty much any wine which a non-Jew touches, other than in certain exceptions, would become prohibited for a Jew to benefit from. Now, the previous Mishnah talked about a Jew who processes the wine on behalf of a non-Jew. It all belongs to the non-Jew, but the Jew is the one who does the whole processing because the non-Jew wants to sell the wine to Jews and make sure the wine is still kosher and not Yain Nesech because he thinks he'll get a higher price from selling the wine to the Jews. This case discusses a similar case, but in this case, the Jew who is processing all of the wine, at the end, he is the one who actually buys the wine from the non-Jew. Hamatar Yenishal Nochri, one who processes the wine belonging to a non-Jew in a state of purity, and when he's finished with it, he places the wine in barrels inside the domain of the non-Jew. Now, in the previous Mishnah, we learned that this wine will only not become Yain Nesech if it's placed in an area which the public who are walking past can see, and in a place where some of the members of the public are Jewish, and so the non-Jew will be afraid of opening up the wine whilst it's in his domain, because he's afraid that a Jew in the public domain might see him. But in this case, this Jew who processed the whole wine the non-Jew wrote a document for the Jew as a receipt saying, "Eskabalti mamachmois, I have received money from you." The Jew was supposed to pay money to the non-Jew, and the non-Jew would give him wine. Now, the Jew had not yet paid him, but the non-Jew trusted him, and therefore he already wrote a document now saying that I have received money from you, and halachically speaking, the wine now belongs to the Jew. Since the wine now belongs to the Jew and it no longer belongs to the non-Jew, even if it's in his domain, mutter, it is permitted still to benefit from that wine, and we are not concerned that the non-Jew has opened up the wine and turned it into Yain Nesech, because since it no longer belongs to him, he's no longer got any motivation to serve his Avodah Zarah with that wine. It would also effectively be like stealing. And so there is not a concern that he turned it into Yain Nesech. Aval, however, Mirtzei Yisrael Leitzioi, if the Jew wanted to take the wine out of the non-Jew's domain, and the non-Jew doesn't allow him to take it until he actually gives him the money, this was a story which once happened in a place called Beis Sha'on, and the Chachomim said that the wine is prohibited, because we can see that the non-Jew is still viewing the wine as belonging to himself, until he actually receives payment. So there is once again a concern that he has used it to serve as a Avodah Zarah, and that it is Yain Nesech, because he's looking at it still belonging to himself. A non-Jew who hires a Jewish worker to do work for him with Yain Nesech, with wine which he has used to serve Avodah Zarah, or even with his regular wine, which, midrabanan, we are concerned is Yain Nesech, and it's forbidden to benefit from it. So it's certainly forbidden for the Jew to work for him, ideally. The question is, if he did this, is he permitted to benefit from the wages which he gets for this work? This is not considered to be directly benefiting from the wine itself. However, midrabanan, they added on another stringency and punishment for this person who did go ahead and work with Yain Nesech, Sechari Asur, and therefore his wages are forbidden. Sechari Lasis Ima Melocha Acheres. What happens if the non-Jew hired him to do a different work? For example, to move, to help him transport lots of barrels of wine which wasn't Yain Nesech. Or to make it more simple, let's say barrels of oil. It's certainly permitted to benefit from that. Afal Pisha Omar Loy, even if he then said to him that as well as all of this work which you're doing, also have really chavis Yain Nesech Makam Makaim, transport for me this one barrel of Yain Nesech from this place to another place. This is already work with Yain Nesech, which is prohibited, and ideally it would be forbidden for him to do that. The question is, can he receive wages for doing that? Now, the truth is it depends on what their arrangement was. Although this is not explicitly stated in the Mishnah, the Gemara explains that if their arrangement was such that he was hiring him to transport a certain number of barrels, let's say 50 barrels, and he wouldn't receive his wages at all unless he moved all 50 barrels. He wasn't hired for each specific barrel by itself, but to do one larger job of moving 50 barrels together. In that case, if one of the 50 barrels is Yain Nesech, then it would be forbidden to get wages for any of it, because he's effectively being hired to do work for Yain Nesech. Part of those 50 barrels is Yain Nesech, and the wages is coming for all of it together, and that work contains within it work with Yain Nesech. So it will be forbidden to receive any of those wages. The Mishnah's case, however, is talking about a case where he's receiving money for each barrel that he manages to transport. In this case, if one of the 50 barrels is Yain Nesech, the Mishnah says, Chorei Mutar, his wages for the rest of the barrels is permitted. The wages which he gets for that specific barrel of Yain Nesech would be forbidden. He would not be able to benefit from that. However, the wages for the rest of the barrels, since the payment for the rest of the barrels has nothing to do with the payment for this barrel, it would therefore be permitted to benefit from the wages for the rest of the barrels. Continues the Mishnah, Asurcher Sachamar, a non-Jew who rents a donkey from a Jew, in order to use it to transport Yain Nesech. He wants the donkey to carry his wine for him, and that is part of their agreement. Chara Osor, the wages which he gets, the payment for the rental, would be forbidden for the Jew to benefit from, because part of the actual arrangement was for him to use it for Yain Nesech. However, Sechara Leishiv Aleha, if the non-Jew rented it in order that he can sit on it, then, even if the non-Jew happened to place his barrel or his bottle of wine on the donkey as well, the payment of the rental is still permitted to benefit from, since that wasn't part of the actual arrangement that it would be used for Yain Nesech, and the amount that he was going to pay him makes no difference whether he's going to sit on it or also carry his barrel of wine on it, because it's not a whole barrel, it's a bottle of wine which he's taking with him for him to be able to drink on the journey. But there's still the main rental is for the sake of the non-Jew himself, not for his wine, and therefore will be permitted to benefit from that rental charge. Mr. Beis, Nesach Shnof al Gabi Anovim, wine belonging to a non-Jew, which is forbidden with Jabonon, as we have seen, which fell onto a Jew's grapes. And these grapes are fully whole, there are no holes in the grapes, and they are still attached to their stalks. And so the wine has not managed to be absorbed into the inside of the grapes. And therefore, Yedichain, all you need to do is rinse and wash those grapes with water, Vehein Mutarais, and the grapes would remain permitted. It should be noted that if the grapes were left in this wine for at least 24 hours, then we assume that some of it was absorbed inside and it would be forbidden. But we're talking about a case where it wasn't inside this wine for a period of 24 hours, and therefore it's enough just to rinse it with some cold water, and the grapes would remain permitted. Vimhoimovukois, however, if the grapes were cracked, there was some way for the wine to get in, or if, for example, the grapes had been detached from their stalks, so that hole at the top of the grape can also allow the wine to enter, asurais, the grapes would then be forbidden. Nofal al gabi te'enim al gabi tamorim, if Yain Nesech fell onto figs or onto dates, these fruit are softer, and therefore even if they are whole, there is a concern that they absorb the taste, they absorb some of the wine, and just by rinsing it, that wouldn't help to get rid of all of the wine. And therefore, the Mishnah says, Im yesh b'menosin ta'am, if there is enough wine there that it gives a slight taste to the figs or the grit or the dates, and you can tell, you can detect the wine in the taste of the figs or the dates, then also it will be forbidden. Now, the following story is going to show that this is only true if it gives off a good taste. But if it makes the figs or the dates deteriorate, and the taste is not beneficial at all for the dates and the figs, this is known as nosin tam lifgam. It gives a taste, but that taste of the wine is detrimental for the figs or the dates, then they would remain permitted. This is a special law regarding mixtures of forbidden and permitted items. And the Mishnah illustrates this with a story, Maisa b'Vaisus ben Zainin. There was a story which once happened with Vaisus ben Zainin, Shehevi Girogros b'Sfina, that he bought many, many dried figs on a ship. V'nishtabrach avishal Yain Nesech, and a barrel containing Yain Nesech broke. V'nofel agabein, and all of the wine fell onto the figs. The Shala Chachomim, and he asked the Chachomim, what is the law? Are all of the figs now forbidden for me to benefit from? The Heitirum, the Chachomim permitted the figs. Why? Because it's Nosin Tam Lifgam. In that case, the taste of the wine reduced the quality of these dried figs, and therefore, that taste was not enough to forbid those figs because of the Yain Nesech. Zaklol, this is the rule, Kol Shebahana Osu B'Nosin Tam. Any time where the giving off of the taste of the wine is a benefit, also will be forbidden. Kol she'ein ban osu b'nosin tam, however, if the giving off of the taste of the Yain Nesech, or in any case of a mixture, the forbidden item, gives a taste which is detrimental for that which has been mixed with, mutter or be permitted. And the Mishnah gives another example, could go in chumetz shenofel gabi gerisin, like vinegar which falls onto beans which have been crushed. The Gemara says we're talking about crushed beans which have been heated up, that vinegar is considered detrimental for them, it gives it a worse taste, and so it would be considered nosim tam lifgam, and therefore the crushed beans would remain permitted. Mishnah Gimel, Nochesh Ramavim Yisrael Kadiyayin, Mimokim Lemokim. If a non-Jew was helping a Jew to transport jugs or barrels of wine from one place to another place, the Jew perhaps hired him to do that, and he was transporting these closed barrels from one place to another place. Now the Jew wasn't with him the entire time. He was sort of going and coming back. If the wine was in a state where there was an assumption that it was being guarded, meaning there was an assumption that the Jew was coming back to look over the wine to make sure that the non-Jew wouldn't turn it into Yei Nesech, then mutter it is permitted. Meaning, if the non-Jew has no idea how long the Jew is going to be, so he will be afraid to open up the wine and to start turning it into Yei Nesech by touching it and using it to serve his Avodah Zarah. Even though that doesn't take a long time, nevertheless, he has no idea in how long the Jew will come back. So he's afraid of being caught, and therefore he's not going to do anything with the wine. However, if the Jew told the non-Jew that he's going to a more distant place and he's going to be a while, so then the non-Jew is no longer going to be afraid. So how long exactly does that time frame need to be that the Jew told him he'll be that long? They should yishtoim enough time that the non-Jew will have the ability to make a hole in the seal of the barrel, and then it'll turn into Yei Nesech, he'll touch the wine, v'yistoim, and he'll have enough time to close up that hole of the seal. The yigoiv, and there'll be enough time for the new part of the seal which he added on to dry so that it's not recognizable what he has done. So the amount of time that it takes to do all of that, if the Jew told him it'll be that long, then he's no longer afraid. And so when the Jew comes back, he needs to be concerned that this wine is now Yei Nesech. Now, if the amount of time which the Jew told him he would be is shorter than that, but in reality the Jew went for a longer time, in that case, the wine would be permitted. Because again, the non-Jew thought he would be a shorter time, so the non-Jew is afraid the whole time to do anything with this wine. So even if technically he did end up having enough time that he would have been able to do this, we don't need to be concerned that he did, since he would have been afraid, because he thought the Jew was coming back sooner. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, the amount of time is slightly different, it's the amount of time that it takes to open up the entire seal, and then to replace the seal by putting on a whole new seal, and for the seal to dry. So this is a slightly longer time, because according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we're not concerned that anybody's going to start making a small hole in the seal which already exists. It's more complicated, and also it's quite recognizable. Every seal might be slightly different color perhaps. So even once it dries, the non-Jew will be concerned that the Jew might be able to tell that there was a hole and he had replaced part of the seal. So according to Moshe Gamliel, we're only concerned if there was enough time for the non-Jew to totally take off the seal and replace it with an entire new seal.